blessing on your word. Lord, for the time is getting short, we just pray that you would speak with all your people around the world, Lord God, and scattered here and across the internet, Lord. And we just thank you now for these things. Just bless us with your word today, we ask in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. You may be seated. Number 498 in the Behold Songbook, I mean the Only Believe Songbook. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
As the deer pants is for the water brook, so soul after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Even though you are my king. the other so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart, desire, and I long to worship thee.
Last verse now.
I want you more than gold, for silver only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of mine eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Amen. At this time, our change order service to prayer request, and we want to continue to pray for Brother Billy Paul, Brother Joseph Branham, and also Sister, also Brother Branham's daughter, not Rebecca, but what's the youngest daughter?
Sarah.
Yes, Sarah. We want to pray for her as well. We hardly ever put her on the prayer request, but I think we should. She is one of Brother Branham's children. Also, we want to pray for the local brethren, Levon and Don, and Suzanne, and health issues, and also just keep Lisbon and Caleb in prayer. We'd like to see another grandchild. Pray for Mark Bailey's family in South Africa. As I said, they've had a lot of turmoil in South Africa, and the family's been split because of it. Not split against each other, but just they can't get back to each other. Mark and his wife were on a vacation when all that stuff broke down, so they closed down the highways and everything else. So they're living in a camper in the back of, you know, it's just a pull-behind camper with a pop-up thing. Keep Sisters Nisha Jenkins and Sister Jean Miller in prayer in the U.K. Sister Dolores Caldwell and her daughter Naomi in Oregon. Sister Betty Phillips and Brother James Phillips in Jeffersonville. They're in their mid-70s, and they've had a lot of physical issues just with their bodies. Then we want to pray for the brethren in Australia and Norway and Sweden. Those brethren in France, England, Belgium, Spain, Switzerland, Peru, Malawi, Mozambique, Uganda, Rwanda, Tanzania, Cameroon, and the rest of African and South American countries, as well as the Philippines. And we want to pray for Phil Abbott's safety on his job. He climbs those tall towers. Nathan Ducharme and his family in Texas. Sister Lois and David Wurmager in Iowa. Brother Don and Sister Mary Hoffman, her cancer, and of course their family in church in Minnesota. Brother Mario Nina in Bolivia with his diabetes, and Brother Juan Carlos in Osuto in Argentina, his daughter Lucy, she was hospitalized with COVID, and Brother Ernie in Washington, Brother Ernie Aslan, his radiation poisoning, Sister Marcia, and then the translators in French, Spanish, German, Norwegian, Polish, Portuguese, Arabic, Swahili, and many other languages around the world who are translating my sermons, and then I'm going to pray for the Bride of Christ everywhere for protection from their governments, basically, and the government tyranny, and from their employers during this season of germ warfare, because that's all it is. And actually, I read an article where the Prime Minister of Israel and the cabinet made it law now that everyone must have the COVID shot. They must have a COVID passport. And it's mandatory. And so there's no going to games. There's no going to the theater, to the synagogue, can't even go to church, you know, their synagogue. Everything's shut down to them. They are being boycotted. So now we're seeing officially the boycott. And, you know, people can say what they want about the mark of the beast, but You know, we know it's in the mindset of the satanic people to go that direction. All right? They are going to do what? They're going to push their program, push their mark, push their boycott, and the children of God are going to resist. And then they'll be hunted down, and like the Prime Minister of New Zealand said, if you don't have it, we're going to hunt you down until you get it. So that's happening, brother, sister. You know, too many people, I've seen too many websites where these the preachers and the leaders of the big churches and stuff are saying, they're saying, this is not the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is way down the future someplace. What do you have to do? We're going to show you this morning, brother, sister, another identifiable characteristic. And then we'll hit on it this Sunday, next Sunday. But another identifiable characteristic, we know they won't be able to buy or sell. That's given. Everybody knows that. Even the unbelievers know that. All right? But there's other identifiable characteristics showing those people who do get the mark. And we'll show that this morning in the service, what those are. So let's stand to our feet. We're going to read from Psalm 27 and 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in his presence. See, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He will set me upon a rock. And, of course, we know that in Psalm 30, I believe it is 32, he says that what that tabernacle is. He says it's his presence. So let's bow our heads at this time. We'll just ask the Lord to bless these requests. Father, we just put forth all these prayer requests and all those traveling, Father, Brother Justin and Christina, and Brother Michael and Helena, the different ones, Lord, that are traveling now. We just pray that you'd be with them over the weekend and on their little vacations. And so we just ask you to give them traveling mercies and keep them in the palm of your hand. Keep all of us here safe. And Father, those who couldn't be here this morning, we just pray for them as well. And Lord, we pray for your bride everywhere, because knowing this is a very turbulent times, we're just watching the unfolding of this, of the mark of the beast and the world domination and all these things, Father. And it's just bizarre, because it's just so against logic that what they are doing, and yet they're doing it anyways. And so, Father, we just commit all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's just sing Emmanuel 565. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel, God with us. the tithes and offerings of Brother Don and Brother Steve come forward and chase those up. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet and we'll just sing Only Believe.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe, Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for this great privilege to assemble in your name, knowing that at the end time you said that we must assemble even more so as we see the day approaching. And Father, we just commit, Lord, our thoughts and our mind to you this morning. We pray, Father, you get us ready for the rapture, for the going home. We believe, Father, that you are in us, working both to will and to do. And so therefore, Father, may we just be a reflection of your divine presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, we're going to be looking at the unveiling continuous paragraph 55. We're going to be looking at worshiping God or worshiping the beast. And see, there's an identifiable characteristic as to those who get the mark, and that's they are worshiping the beast system. The Bible tells us, and we're going to see it in Revelation 13, that they worship the beast and the image of the beast. But Brother Branham said from his sermon, The Unveiling of God, he said, in the Old Testament, God was hid when he was on his mercy seat, on the mercy seat by a veil. In the Old Testament, God was in his temple, but the people come in and worship like this. But remember, there was a veil. Amen. That hid God. They know God was there. See, parousia, presence. People know he's here, but they couldn't see him. That pillar of fire never appeared anymore there. Did you notice? There's not one time in the scripture from that time that the pillar of fire went in behind that veil, that it was ever showed again until it come from Jesus Christ. God was veiled. When he stood on the earth, he said, I come from God, I go to God. Then Paul, after his death, burial, and resurrection, on his road to Damascus, there was that pillar of fire again. What was it? Out from behind the veil, glory to God, he was from behind the veil. Now, it's very apparent that people worship a God that they cannot see, and thus that which they do not know. And we hear Jesus himself say to the people of Samaria in John chapter 4, verse 22, ye worship what you know not. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Then Jesus told them in verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's very apparent that the only way that you can worship God correctly is to worship him in spirit and in truth, and he is the truth. And that is why the Apostle Paul taught us in 1 Corinthians 2 that no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. Because God reveals them unto us by his Spirit. And if you do not have his Spirit living in you, then you will never understand the things of God and therefore what is truth. And therefore you can't worship correctly. So we're looking at the mark of the beast, and most people understand that there is to be one attribute of those who receive this mark, and that is that they will be able to buy or sell, while others will not be able to buy or sell. So that attribute is the boycott, which the 21st century term is called cancel culture. You know, if you have this mark, you will not be canceled out. And as I read to you this morning, or I did read to you, but I mentioned to you that the prime minister, the new prime minister, the new government in Israel now has made it official that unless you have the jab and unless you have a passport to go along with it, you cannot go to synagogue, you cannot go to theater, you cannot go to sporting events, you cannot go to, just a whole bunch of things that they mentioned in the article. And it wasn't just the article, it was actually they were quoting verbatim what he said. Also, you can't travel freely. So, you know, we're looking at a time that they seem to be the first ones to make it official, an official government. The whole thing is locked down. The whole thing is done. Why? Why? They're refusing to believe the true science. And they're taking the political expediency, the political science. Now, this morning, I want you to open your minds and examine another attribute that identifies those who take the mark, and that is that they worship the beast and his image. Now, most people think worship is falling prostrate and bowing down. That's not worship. My goodness, you come to church, you bow down and prostrate. Maybe the Catholic Church does when they genuflect, when they go into their... But no, worship is... Look, how do you worship God? In your songs, right? In your praise, in your daily life. The sacrifice of praise, giving thanks to God, right? So, from the unveiling of God, well, this morning we're going to examine just what it means to worship. What is worship? What is worshiping the beast, and what is worshiping his image? We want to know what the word worship means. Now, from the unveiling of God, Brother Brown said, the Greeks wanted to see him. In St. John 12 and 20, many of you heard me preach on that, saying, sirs, we would see Jesus. Did you notice that? Now, the Greeks were scholars. They were great men. And they had a great feeling for God, as Paul preached to them on Mars Hill, and that they led the world in science. Well, what did Paul preach to them on God's Hill? He said, you know, you got a God out there you're worshiping, but he's the invisible God. You don't even know anything about him, but you worship him. See, they led the world in science, sounds like the USA. And education. They were great people. But they worshipped and believed in mythology. And so, books of arts, of curious arts, and so forth. I've never seen any people more superstitious than Catholics and Hindus. Hindus have 300 or 300 million gods, I think it is, or whatever it is. How many gods do they have? 3 million or 3? It's like a gazillion. I mean, it's just... And the Catholics have all these saints. They're little gods. You know, if I'm going to go travel, I'm going to pray to St. Christopher so he safeguard my travel. And, you know, they got a God for carpentry and a God for this and God for that. See? Brilliant people as far as education goes in the things of the world, but stupid when it comes to Scripture, when it comes to knowing God. And I use the word stupid freely because that's what they are. It's just... So these Greeks, which were pagans, believed in all sorts of gods and mystical things, and although they were a very scientific people and leaders in medicine and arts and so forth, yet their worship was false. That's America, claiming to be a Christian nation, but they're not. We'll get into that as well. But they got stirred up about this man who could heal the sick and could foretell things that happened to the God. And they got stirred up, so they come to him. Now watch close now. Don't miss this, see? And they come and they said to Philip, which was at Bethsaida, sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip and another disciple brought him to Jesus to see Jesus. And now notice the very words that Jesus reported back to them, for they come to see him, they come to see who he was, and they could not see him. They sent
They've seen the form, you know, the vessel. But he was in his temple. God was in his temple, veiled in human flesh. Notice the words he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, see, and die, it abides alone, see. The hour has come, it'll soon be, that the Son of Man will be glorified, see. And he must pass from this earth, and except this hour comes, you'll never be able to see it. And so they came into the very presence of God, and they missed him, because they beheld only a man, the vessel. They were blinded by the vessel, and so is it today. And so they return home to their false worship. It's just like the foolish virgins. They stood right in the midst. Behold, he's here. Come out to meet him. And they stood there in his presence, but they couldn't see him, so they went off to themselves. They were blinded by the vessel, and so is it today. And so they return home to their false worship. And I think it is ironic that people cannot come to this... People can come to this message and see only the vessel God used and not understand that God himself is greater than any vessel he ever used. And so we see the world going plumb into the end time insanity, and we are seeing the optics of the mark of the beast gaining worldwide control. Every day it is growing in control. And that takes us to the end time prophecy that we see in Revelation 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. Okay, so first we read here where the people worship the beast and his image. So now we take you to Revelation 13 to understand the beast and its image so that you can see who it is that is to be worshipped. In Revelation 13 we see that this beast rises up, and we know according to Brother Branham that a beast in Scripture always represents a power or government, as we see in the book of Daniel. Now, it's interesting, when we studied Daniel 8, we saw a lot of what is happening in our present time, with President Trump coming on the scene and all the identifiable characteristics showing that this fierce king and the vision of Daniel 8 identified this one to be President Trump in so many different ways, how he would come and make manufacturing to prosper in his hand through his policies, just like the Bible said and William Branham instructed us. We saw all that and his self-seeking narcissism, and is venturing into enigmas and mysterious speech. We also saw how he went up against the Pope, as the Bible said that he would do, and how through the Pope and the Vatican's 3 satellites took Trump out of power and stole the election from him, and he was broken without hand, meaning he lost his power and not by his own doing. That ought to tell you the election was stolen, but just by Scripture. That was all foretold to us in Daniel 8:23-25. Now, this morning, to understand what we are up against in these closing days, I'm saying closing days because we are in the last closing days. If it's not this year, it'll be next. It can't go any beyond that. And so, in these closing days on earth, we must go back to the book of Daniel again. Only this time, we're going to go back to chapter 7. And unless you understand chapter 7, you will never understand who the beast of Revelation 13-17 is. Because unless you understand chapter 7, you don't understand who that princess is that took down President Trump. We're going to find that out. We find in the book of Daniel during the reign of Belshazzar that Daniel had a dream concerning 4 beasts that rose up from the sea. And here's the thing. If he had to have Daniel 7 on the scene before Daniel 8 could unfold itself. Sitting in the waiting for it. All right, because that one in Daniel 7 also is in 9, 10, 11, 12. Making a pact, and the whole economy goes down and everything else. Now, we find in the book of Daniel during the reign of Belshazzar that Daniel had a dream concerning 4 beasts that rose up from the sea, and Daniel broke down that dream and showed us that those beasts were kingdoms that would rise up, one succeeding another. He sees a great sea stirring up by the 4 winds of heaven, and from the waters emerge 4 beasts. And remember, there are 4 beasts in the book of Revelations also. 4 horse riders, all right? Now, from the waters emerge 4 beasts. From the waters... Remember, waters are peoples, nations, multitudes, and tongues. We'll get into that later. The first, a lion with the wings of an eagle. The second, a bear. The third, a winged leopard with 4 heads. And the fourth, a beast with 10 horns. And a further horn appeared, which uprooted 3 of the 10. Now, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and vision of his head upon his bed. Now, there was a night vision. It was a dream. It was a night vision. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. And Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, my night vision, a vision by night would be a dream. And behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon this, the great sea. Now there are two symbols here that we need to know and understand. Daniel said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. So, most people, all people, don't know what that means unless they've heard it from a vindicated prophet. The first symbol is the four winds. The second symbol is the sea. All right. Now, from his sermon, Question and Answers, Part 1, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, Paragraph 21, Brother Brown tells us exactly what those symbols mean. He said, let's get Revelation, the 7th chapter, because it's also in Revelations, and in 7 and 13 and 17. And we'll find out here, now, where what it said. It's a beautiful thing. And after this, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Now, this parallels Ezekiel 9, where I saw the destruction of the Jews. And here we see the destruction of the Gentiles. Revelation, the 7th chapter. And I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds. Winds. It means war and strife. That the wind should not blow upon the earth, nor upon the sea, or on any tree. Now, that's war, and it's being held back. All right? So now, in Daniel, we see the four winds. All right? It's war. So the four winds are wars and strife. But what is this great sea that he's talking about here? That the wars and strife that strove upon this great sea, as Daniel said. Well, in the book of Revelation, John is told what the symbol of the sea represents. Now, I want you to keep in mind many of the symbols that Daniel saw in his night vision are also seen in the Apostle John in his vision while he was on the Isle of Patmos. Revelation 17:1 tells us, and there came one of the seven angels which had seven vials, that'd be the last messenger, and talked with me, saying, come on. Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, when the scripture refers to a woman, always represents a church. Israel was referred to as an adulterous woman by God. The Apostle John referred to the church he was writing to as the elect lady. And you will notice that this woman sits upon a scarlet-colored beast. Now, we have already seen that a beast in Scripture represents a political power or government. And this one was scarlet-colored, as are the cardinals who get their name from the color scarlet. Okay, cardinals. Scarlet. It is the color of royalty, as they are the princes of the church. And notice this beast or power is scarlet colored. And the woman, this church, was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, Brother Bram had an opportunity to go to the Vatican and see all of that. They brought it here to Cincinnati, all the crowns. And a few years back, I took my daughters, and we went to see... did I take you with me? Okay, then maybe the grandkids would talk. But anyway, they had all the tiaras, you know, that the popes wear, all kinds of different ones. And you should have seen the rubies and diamonds. And I mean, these things were, you know, just each tiara probably cost $1 million. I mean, they're just, and they had just a whole bunch of them. And the woman, this church, was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, in Ezekiel 16, 1-63, we don't have time to read it this morning, but we do have, but God rebukes Israel for playing the part of a harlot as an unfaithful bride who breaks her marriage vows to him by having intercourse with the kings of the earth instead of being faithful to God. In other words, they turn their affection toward the leaders of the world and not toward God. That's exactly what's happening in this day. People are turning their affection, well, you know, Fauci says it, or this leader says it, or this leader. I mean, I've got to believe them, but they don't read their Bible. They don't read what a vindicated prophet came to tell us. The very fact that God came with healing in his wings ought to have gotten the people's attention, that God is the healer. And yet they choose man instead of God. And man's number is what? The number, the 666 is the number of what? Man. You see? Now, and so we see this woman, this church, in the book of Revelations, also has played the part of a whore by having intercourse with the kings of the earth instead of standing alone and being true to her marriage vows. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, this verse is important because it is she is a whore herself, unfaithful to her marriage vow as the queen of heaven, married to God, and she has children, daughters, that she gave birth to, the Protestant denominations, who also, like their mother, are also harlots as she was, because they're not faithful to God. They're faithful to their politics. Now, if we had read all of Ezekiel 16, we would have also read in verse 44, Behold, everyone that uses the proverb shall use this proverb against thee, saying, As is the mother, so is the daughter. So is her daughter. And a study of history will show you that every denomination also cavorted with the world leaders from the Catholic Church up through the days of Luther and into the Wesleyan days. In fact, had it not been for the leaders, the political leaders, the princes of Germany, Luther could not even have stood against the Pope. So they got politics. They always got politics involved. Verse 6, And I saw the woman, this church, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, if you ever read Schmucker's Glorious Reformation, you would know that the Catholic Church put to death more than 68 million people during her inquisitions. Verse 7, And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, the church, and of the beast, the political power, that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not. Now let's go to Revelation 17 and 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now it's not Cincinnati. We do have seven, but they're hills. They're not mountains. Okay. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and one is not. Who is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, he is the eighth and is of the seventh and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings. They are not kings, but they receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Brother Brown tells us those are dictators. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now, Brother Branham goes, in the second seal, we go to see what Brother Branham tells us here, and he explains all of this. And here is, in paragraph 122, And here is the mind which hath wisdom. How many knows there's nine spiritual gifts, and one of them is wisdom, all right? The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, he's reading from chapter 17. Oh, you'd have to be totally blind, deaf, and dumb not to get that, all right? See, he can say it, but I can't. All right. There are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, Nero. And one is to come. And when he cometh, he must continue just a short space. Now remember what he done, burnt the city and laid it onto the Christians and put his mother on a single tree of a horse and run her through the streets and fiddle with Rome while Rome burned. All right. And the beast that was and is not, even he is of the eighth. Pagan Rome brought into papal Rome. When the incarnate Antichrist spirit became incarnate and was crowned, he was made a crowned king of Rome, both in state and church together. Oh, brother. See, it's just full of, is a seventh, and he goeth, and how long does he last? They never change the system to perdition. They go to perdition. The ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kings and kingdoms as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. That's dictators, you see, of course. These have one mind. Now look here, and they talk about communism. These have one mind, and they talk about communism. They have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, that's Satan, and goeth into perdition. And they shall dwell on the earth, they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. You see, when I listen to many of these so-called religious leaders, and they talk about this, they say, well, you know, we don't really know what the mark of the beast is, but, you know, we know it's the it's a number, 666. So, and 666 isn't being injected into their arms. And so it's not. It can't, you know, this thing can't be the mark because it's got to have the number 666 in it. Well, isn't the patent 666? It's WO, World Order 2020, 060606. That's the patent number. they're getting injected, the patent number, how much more plain does it have to be? But it says, if their names were not written in the book of life before the foundation of the world, they're going to wonder about it. They won't have a clue. Only those that have the Holy Ghost will have a clue. Now notice John tells us the world will wonder, but not the elect. He says the world, those whose names were not written in the Lamb's book of life before the world was formed, will wonder. And that tells us that he's not speaking of the elect, for the elect shall not be deceived. They can't be deceived. They have the Holy Ghost, and therefore they will understand. And that is what Daniel also said, the elect will know and understand at the end time. In fact, Daniel 12 and 9, he says, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed and sealed up till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Well, if they don't understand, I don't want to get too pointed here, but none of the wicked shall understand. So if people don't understand, what are they considered? Wicked. There's no excuse in this hour. We've had a vindicated prophet. People come to church, sing their songs, put on a tape, maybe don't put on a tape. That preacher gets up there, and what do? They walk out of church and they don't know diddly squat what's going on right now. Why? They don't have the Holy Ghost. If you had the Holy Ghost, you would understand the things of God. That's 1 Corinthians 2. Revelation. Listen, don't get mad at me for saying these things. This is the Bible truth. We're living in a time that's very, very deceptive. It's the most deceptive age of all. Revelation 17 and 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the Holy Spirit... And the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their heart to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, the papacy, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. They give their kingdom because she uses extortion and bribery and all kinds of things to control these leaders. And if they don't get control, they get eliminated. And they hate her for it, but yet they go along with her. Whatever she says, that's what they do. Until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman, the church, which thou sawest, is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now notice, she, a church, is also a city that sits upon seven mountains. And we all know that that is the Vatican City, which is a city-state that reigns over the kings of the earth. And isn't it interesting, there's only like 400, maybe 700 at the most, I think, between 400 and 700 people that actually live in Vatican City. So the population of that country, it's a city-state. The population of that country, that city-state, is so small that it's dwarfed by almost every single nation on earth. And yet, they control them all. How? How do you think they do? They got the gold. If you've ever read any of Malachi Martin's books, and I suggest that Windswept House is one that you should read, and I read it years ago, and he said the events that are in this book are true, only have changed names to protect people, to protect it from getting basically people going out and wanting to kill him. And then he gets killed after he wrote the book. He got poisoned to death. But he says how the first, remember we have like the G8, you've heard the G8 summit, and they have the G20, and they have, you know, but the G8 is the top eight countries, and the G20, they let a few more in just to get a little bit more in. But the first one was the G5 summit. It was U.S., England, Canada, Japan, and Germany, I think it was. Those five. And it's called the G5, but there were six signatures on that summit. On that, what they went through. The sixth signature was the Secretary of State of the Vatican. So the Vatican is the one that organized the G5. They've organized all these economic summits that we see. They're the organizers, the Bilderbergs. They're all controlled by the Vatican. The Vatican runs it all. And you're going to find out, as you read Scripture, you're going to find out the whole world, they might hate her, but yet they're being manipulated by her. Now notice, she, a church, is also a city that sits upon seven mountains. Okay, Vatican City, which is city-state that reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, back to Daniel 7 and verse 3. And four great beasts, political powers, came up from the sea, nations, multitudes, and tongues, diverse from one another. The first was like a lion, and he had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, another political power, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another beast of political power, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, the beast, political power, had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now see, that's the Catholic Church. All right? Pagan Rome became Papal Rome. All right. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, we already read where Brother Bram said in the second seal that these 10 horns were 10 dictators who rise up or are given power from the beast. And notice, every one of them was Catholic. You know, look at Cuba. Fidel Castro, he's Catholic, bows down to the Pope. You look at the different dictators that have risen. Chavez, what? Dictator. All of them, and I've shown you pictures before of all these world leaders bowing down, kissing the ring of the Pope. Now, from the mark of the beast, Brother Ben said, if we take the history and go right back and show it, where the kings had fallen in Rome since the Babylon kingdom, one is, that's Nero, and one is to come, and he must continue a short space, about 6 months when he comes. And the beast, oh, look at this now. The power is going to take the pagan place. The beast that was and is not even is the eighth. Now watch. And is of the seventh. Is of the seventh. You all know what a terrible king he was. He hooked his mother to a single tree of a horse and drug her through the streets and set the city afire and fiddled up on the hill. That's the same kind of a spirit that's dominating the church that sets in the place of pain. The eighth, which is of the seventh, then he is and is not, and is and is not, and is and is not, on down and goeth into perdition, plumb till the time of the coming of the Lord, and he's cast into hell. What's that? That's the succession of popes. Is not. Plumb till the time of the coming of the Lord, and he's cast into hell. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdoms as yet, but received power as kings when are with the beast. Oh, if we could just receive no power as yet. They're not kings. They didn't have, they ten, the horns, didn't have crowns. They received power like kings. And what is it? Dictators, not crowned kings. Dictators, oh my. And from why we're not a denomination, Brother Brad said, now watch these ten horns, these 10 kingdoms. See, that's everything falling in. What these dictators are, watch the way dictators lean to. Where it's leaning to. Just look. Tell me a dictator that doesn't lean towards communism. See? And they shall watch. Hate the whore, the woman, the church. But watch. What's going to do it? They shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. All right? Now, from the United Time and Sign, paragraph 87, Brother Brown tells us, nations are breaking. For the time now that we see that they're supposed to do this, we're in the process of a national disturb. We see the nations are breaking relationship. Year by year, we find this nation being swallowed up in communism and this one being swallowed up in communism. And all right, here in our own nation, it's honeycombed with communism, and it will take over. It will take over. It will take over. What's taking over? Communism. We see it everywhere. See, it'll do it. No way of stopping it. I don't care how many Trumps you bring on the scene if he comes back or anything else. There's no way of stopping it. Why? The same reason that you couldn't stop Titus. The people have rejected God and his word. Yes, sir. So they're going to do it, and we see it right in process. You know, I really feel sorry for this young generation because, I mean, you're living right in the midst of all of this crisis. You might think to yourself, why couldn't I have lived back 50 years ago when everything was gone? I mean, there's the World War and stuff, but, you know, why couldn't I have been born at least 30 or 40 years later so that I'd be, you know, older now and maybe have passed away by now and I have to go through all this? Well, let me tell you what. Look at the bright side. You're here for a purpose. And that purpose is the resurrection and the change of the body and being changed while living into an immortal being. So, yeah, we're going through this. Yeah, we'll probably talk about it for the ages to come. But like Brother Brown said, if I could live in any other age, I'd want to live in this age. Why? Because he's here. And what we've seen what he's done, and we know what he's going to do, and we're going to be part of what he's doing. But he said, the reason there's no way of stopping it, the people have rejected his word, yes, sir. So they're going to do it, and we see it right in progress, process. Now, from why we're not a denomination, he says, now let's see. Paragraph 49. And the beast that was and is not, the 11th verse, and yet is the 8th, now the 7th, and goeth into perdition. He'll continue on until he hits the bottomless pit at the end of the road. And the 10 horns which thou saw are 10 kings. Now, watch here. If you want to see something striking, watch this. Our 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. They're not crowned kings. They're dictators. See? They never was crowned king, but they receive power as kings 1 hour with in their reign with the beast. That's just in this little shadowy time right now where dictators are rising up. See? Receive power as king 1 hour with the beast now. All right. Now, Daniel 7 and verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down and the Ancient of Days did sit. Now there's a white-wigged one, which is the Son of Man himself, God, whose garment was white as snow and his hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame and his wheel as burning fire. Now it's interesting. See, Daniel saw in vision what you can see in a picture. You've seen the manifestation of what Daniel saw in vision. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. The white throne is set. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. That is when Russia finally destroys the Vatican in 1 hour, as we see in the book of Revelation chapter 18. So we're going to go to 18. Beginning verse 1. And after these things, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. That's the presence of Parousia. That's the angel of the covenant, Revelation 10 and 1, speaking through Revelation 10 and 7. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become the habitation of the devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people. See, that's the end time message. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven. Oh my, I just caught something right there. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sin, her unbelief, and that you be not partaker of her plagues. Plural. So the plagues got to hit everybody whose name is not written on the Lamb's Book of Life. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double, according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled to her double, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues, plural, come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. That is when Russia, most likely under Putin, shall nuke her after she has ruined every nation. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her. Notice the kings did, but the people didn't. It's all about graft. It's all about, you know, what you can get in that authority. But they shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Why? Because everything she has set up for them to get their graft and power and everything else is gone now. What are they going to do? I believe at that time the people in the world are going to hunt down the leaders and they're going to just kill them all. You're going to see time of tribulation. You're going to see a lot of terrible things happening. But when they shall see the smoke of her burning, it has to be television. No other way for all nations to look upon her ruin. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, yeah, they won't want to get too close with all that radiation. Standing afar off. Saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. In just 1 hour she is gone, finished, burnt up. That has to be a nuke. And the merchants of the earth, and Brother Brown said it would be, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Huh? The economy is so demolished, such a great depression, and no one wants what these evil people have to sell anyway, and they can't buy it anyway. They're finished. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, of fine linen, of purple, silk, scarlet, thine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, and brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horse, and chariots, and slaves, you know, cars, and slaves, and the souls of men. Yeah, the souls of men. And the fruits that they that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and good are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment. She is not only destroyed but radiated. Who would come near? Who would even come near to a radiated city? See, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet—that's the Vatican—and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls." Now that is a description of the Vatican attire. But all cardinals, prince of the church, and pope are all destroyed. Hallelujah! For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to nothing. You know, there might be a bunch of gold, thousands, tons of gold, but it's all radiated. You can't get in there to touch it. What good is it going to do? You can't share it. It's got to be locked up. It's got to stay locked. It's probably so welded together in one big hunk anyway. Yeah, great riches. She's worth trillions of dollars. Perhaps quintillion. As Brother Brown said, you couldn't buy her for $1 billion, and that's a quintillion. You know how much a quintillion is? That's 1,000 quadrillions. You know how much a quadrillion is? 1,000 trillions. So that's 1,000,000 trillions. A billion is 1,000, a trillion is 1,000 billions. So that's 1,000,000,000,000 billions. Can't even fathom how rich she is. Every shipmaster and all the company's ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off. Can't get close because of radiation. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "That what city is like unto this great city?" Yeah, the smoke, like a huge mushroom cloud. See? And they cast dust on their heads, and they cried, weeping, wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. In 1 hour is she made desolate." 1 hour, she's made desolate. In 1 hour, she comes to nothing. She's laid waste. "Rejoice over her, thou heaven." Yeah. See, they're all lamenting. We're rejoicing. "And ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." Done. "And the voice of the harpers and musicians and the pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman or whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, and for by their sorceries, their pharmaceuticals, were all nations deceived." So what is a great delusion? Pharmaceutical. "And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all that were slain upon the earth." Remember, God will send them a strong delusion. What's that? It says right there, the whole nations were, and by thy sorceries, pharmaceuticals, were all nations deceived. There you go. We're seeing this all enacted out, brothers and sisters. Okay, now back to Daniel 7, and we'll pick up at verse 12. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven, there you go, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Notice. Who shall possess the earth? The saints shall possess the earth. And of course, we all know Jesus promised us the meek shall inherit the earth. Then I would know, verse 19, the truth of the fourth beast. The fourth beast. Remember, there's three, then the fourth. Which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured broken pieces and stampeded the residue with his feet, and of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. See, this is Rome, the Vatican, using the strength of the United States to do battle against the saints. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus, he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it into pieces. Remember, you had Babylon, and then you had Persia, then you had Greece, and then you had Rome, and then Rome split. It died as pagan Rome and became papal Rome. So the fourth power, world power, that had dominance over all the world, which is Rome, that split and became papal Rome. All right. The fourth beast shall be of the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it into pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a dividing of time. Notice time, that's one. And times, that's two. And then a dividing of time, or half of time, is a half. So you have time, times, and then a half. 3.5 years. All right. That's tribulation. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitation much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Now, back to Revelation 13:2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Doesn't it sound like the same that you saw in Daniel? The one that's like a leopard, the one like a bear, etc. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. That is when pagan Rome died and came back as papal Rome. The entire world has been locked down and are being forced the experimental death drug. Now notice, this affects the whole world. And we see this picture I showed you in Unveiling God number 204, that the whole world has been locked down. The whole world. There's no country that has been free of it. The whole world has been under this tyranny. And they worship, now notice, here's what we want to get to. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, political power, saying, who is like, who's a dragon, by the way? That's Satan. And who's worshiping Satan? The whole world. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, political power, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is like unto this political power? Who is able to make war with him? And you know, many people are not being fooled by this, but what can you do? Who can make war with her? And when she's being protected by the very image that was made like unto her, which is the USA, with his civil and ecclesiastical horns. And there was given unto him a mouth, papacy, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years. See, tribulation. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Again, we're looking at, not only is the boycott, not only is the buying and selling, you can't do those things, unless you got the mark, but all the world will worship the dragon, which is Satan, and the beast, this political system. Now, what does that word worship mean? If any man have ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall be led into captivity. He that killeth with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. All right. Now, so you see, John saw is identical to what Daniel saw here in the night vision. Now, let's move on in Revelation 13. I'm going to read from verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Notice, this beast, this political power, doesn't come out of nations, peoples, multitudes, and tongues. It doesn't come out of the sea. It doesn't come out of the water. But it's the United States which comes out of the earth. And he had two horns, both civil and ecclesiastical. The United Nations and the World Council of Churches are both located in New York City like a lamb. And he spake to the dragon. If you've ever looked at the shape of New York and Maine, it looks like a lamb's head, and then out of it are the two lakes, and they look like horns of the ram. And then you come down the coast, and there is the front lake, which is Florida. And then you go and you look where Texas comes down like this, it's the hind leg. That is the the map of the United States at 1812. It looked like a lamb. I've seen pictures of it. I wish I would have kept them back when I was a school teacher. But that's like 40 years ago. All right, 50 years ago. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. Okay. He had two horns, one like a lamb, one like a dragon. All right. One like a lamb, the World Council of Churches, so-called Christians. The other, he spake like a dragon, speaking like the devil. Pushing abortion, pushing all these infanticide, all this other stuff going on. Now, looking like a lamb says she looked like a Christian nation, but she sure didn't talk like one. She talked like the devil himself, with her LGBT, QRV, SQIV, sodomite stuff, and her abortions, and drug culture, and all her political leaders prostituting themselves in her capital. Oh, she looked like the mother whore herself. And he exercised all the power of the first beast, which is Rome. Notice, he, not a woman, not church, but he, another beast, another political power, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So the first beast is a she, a church, but this beast is a he. It's not a church, but it's still a beast, political power. Now notice, it is the United States that caused the world to worship the first beast, Rome, and her Vatican City. Now, keep that in mind, because we're going to examine this worship and what it is and what it means. And he, not a woman, not a church, but a country, a political power that appears to be a Christian, but speaks like the devil, does great wonders, insomuch that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, there's all your space programs being viewed on a worldwide television, and it's all fake, everything was. That is the main attribute of the end times. Everything of man is fake. It's about time that you just shut off all your intercourse with the fake. And when I say intercourse, I mean your interactions, listening to the media, all this stuff, because it's all fake. Why would you want to pump your mind full of fake, 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 and then say, but I believe the message? And if Satan controls all the world governments, which Jesus admitted that he did, then why would the father of lies tell anything truthful? No, sir. We're not a gullible people. I don't believe anything any government tells us. And remember, the deception is geared to the gullibility of them that are perishing. And that is what 2 Thessalonians tells us. And I'm going to read you the Weiss translation. It says, this deception, remember, the end time delusion, this deception, God turns over to believe a lie. This deception is geared to the gullibility. So if it's geared to the gullibility, like a gear, it fits perfectly with their gullibility, the deception does, of those who are perishing, and that this gullibility is caused by the fact that they did not have a love for the truth. There's your other mark. It's the mark of God. They that worship in spirit and in truth are true worshipers. The true worshiper shall worship in spirit and truth. But these others did not have a love for the truth. Their worship is false. It's not based on truth and not based on the Spirit of God. Right. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 to 12. Of every kind of wicked deception geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing, this gullibility being caused by the fact that they did not accept the love for the truth to the end that they all might be saved. And because of this, God shall send them a deluding influence, resulting in their believing the lie, in order that they all might be judged who did not believe the truth, but took delight in wickedness. Now, and what was the lie? It was a lie, the same lie, because remember, Jesus said, you do what you see your father do. It was a lie the serpent told Eve. Well, what was that lie? You will not surely die. What are they saying today? Take the jab. You will not surely die. Take the jab. You want to live? Take the jab. Isn't that the very lie the world is being told today? Take this experimental vaccine, which, by the way, is not really a vaccine, but it's a gene therapy, and you will not die. And did not the serpent give gene therapy to Eve? And what happened to her? The day you eat thereof is the day you shall surely die. That's what God promised. So she took the word of Dr. Serpent and lost her life and caused sickness and disease and death to enter the world. And look at the 400 and some thousand, just in the USA, have having all kinds of reactions from taking the Dr. Serpent's jab. Why? Because the genes were changed. All this death and sickness came into this world through the womb of Eve. Because the genes were changed from human to transhuman, from part human to part beast. So if the delusion is geared to their gullibility, that means the delusion was made to fit their gullibility. And the people of the world are in the most gullible state I've ever seen them in 68 years I've been on earth. People highly educated but totally gullible and are incapable of having a right thought. And Dr. Weiss' wording here is perfect. Them that are perishing are geared to their own gullibility. Which, if you understand what a gear is, it is made in such a way that if it fits itself to the gullible delusion. In other words, as the delusion turns, so do the people, because they're fitted to destruction. Romans 9:22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction like a gear? Now, next week, we're going to continue with the study on worship. And actually, we're going to look at the word worship as defined by Webster, which comes from two words, worth and ship. Has nothing to do with prostrating, has nothing to do with inaction. Worth and ship. What does worth mean? Value. So they valued more what the beast system gave to them than they did to God. That's what we're going to look at next week. Those who receive the mark are also worth shipping the beast. We have received the dopes of God. What is that? God's values. What do they receive? The propaganda of man, man's values. So they worship the beast system and the image, and we worship God.
Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And I'm looking with great anticipation in the next week when we go into this further and show, Father, how it is the identifiable characteristics of all of them that take the mark are doing so because they put more confidence in man than you, God, who are the healer of all our diseases. When Jesus said, "When I come, shall I find faith?" The world is in a faithless condition, but there's a handful of people throughout the world who will not take that vax because they trust in God. They will not take that mark because they trust in God. And they have already the mark of God, the seal of God, the Holy Spirit. And thus they are immune. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You see, the problem that we have is that the vaccine wasn't made for the COVID. The COVID was made to get the people to take this gene therapy vaccine. Well, let's just all stand to our feet and we'll just sing that song. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is.